Thank you for those wonderful songs. It's certainly an honor and a blessing to be with you here this morning. This is a special place for me. If I haven't met you yet, my name is James Benson. I am the chaplain, as Corbin said, at the Fork Union Military Academy right across the road. This is my 15th year as a chaplain there. Seems like just yesterday that I started. Seems like just yesterday that 27 years ago next month, I stood in this sanctuary right here with Leslie and made sacred promises to each other in front of God and some of you. So it's good to be home, and I'm thankful that that Anthony reached out to me and asked me to join you all this morning. So I'm thankful for that. I'm going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, depending on what you want to call it. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. And as you are finding your place there, I stand before you in a changed world, a crazy world, a world where we would have thought 12 months ago we'd be having church outside. And Anthony, if you're watching, thank you for asking me to come speak in October and not August. In a world where we have to wear masks when we go shopping, a world where the young men across the street have arrived in August and will not be able to go home until Thanksgiving. A world where we broadcast and stream over Facebook. Well, maybe it's forcing our hands as a churches to join the 21st century. I say that knowing that I hope that my oldest daughter, Jordan, is watching. And if she is, I love you, sweetie. We've only seen her twice since February. She lives in Richmond. She was supposed to be here this weekend and come join us, but as bad luck would have it, she got a sinus infection and can't join us. Even the world changes to the point where someone tells you they have a sinus infection or a cold, and you have to wonder, do they have to go get that swab jabbed straight up into the back of their skull, it seems like, to see if they have COVID? But the truth of God's word remains, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So I am thankful to be here. Certainly it's a different setting than when I normally speak to Fork Union Baptist Church. I'm used to looking over to the left and seeing the Pulliam, Fender, Bowles, Reed, Campbell wing. But the constant is right there. My man, Fletcher Eric, Coach, it's so good to see you and have you sitting right, or standing, I guess, where I normally see you. I love you, Coach. A great encourager and a great mentor to me in his time at Fork Union, and I'm thankful for that. I would like to, before I begin the message, offer a prayer for a changed world, a crazy world, a chaotic world, a world where today the most powerful, politically speaking, man sits in a hospital, all the way down to the faceless and nameless who sit in a hospital thanks to something that we can't even see with the naked eye. A world where we have to deal with fear, a world where we have to deal with uncertainty, frustrations, anger, but God's word is still steadfast. Join me in a quick prayer. Father God, this morning I pray. I pray for this country and all its communities and the families and individuals contained within it. We are a people affected, like all others in the world, by this pandemic. We pray this morning for everyone who has been affected directly by it, whether it's through contracting this virus, from our president, as I mentioned, all the way down to the nameless and the faceless in the hospitals. We lift up to you this morning the men and women in the medical industry who worked so hard throughout this entire pandemic, who have sacrificed so much, who have given their all, it seems, sometimes. We pray, Lord, that you would lift them up and strengthen them, doctors, nurses, anyone else associated with them. We pray for the researchers as they work diligently to find a vaccine, that you would grant them wisdom, that you would grant them strength as they continue their work. And Father, we all do pray that we would be able to get back to whatever we consider normal. But allow us also, God, to remember that you are always in charge. So we give it all over to you, Father God, and ask for your presence in our lives as individuals, as families, as communities, and as a country. And we pray these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, takes a break from bragging about himself, telling the church in Corinth how awesome he is. I don't know about you all. I've thought about this several times. I don't know that I would have liked to have spent a whole lot of time with Paul. Paul was a pretty intense guy. If you know me, you know I'm a little bit more laid back than intense. But Paul was a gifted man, and he's taking time to let the people know in Corinth about something that he's struggling with. And he says, starting in verse 7, he says, "So that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I didn't mean to break it. I was moving the coffee mug from the dishwasher to the cabinet, emptying the dishwasher. The coffee mug was still a little bit wet, and it slipped from my grasp and it crashed on the ground. And I looked down and saw what must have been a couple of dozen pieces of that mug, large pieces, small pieces, realizing that putting it together would have taken a long time, and it never would have looked the way it did before it broke. Maybe even missing a few of the smaller shards. So I threw it out. I swept it up, opened the trash can, and threw it out. And later, I learned about kintsugi, and I wished I hadn't thrown it out. Kintsugi, and I don't know if many of you know what that is. It's a Japanese word. It refers to an art form of taking broken pieces of ceramic and putting them back together, restoring them with a lacquer that's mixed with gold or silver or platinum. So when they're put back together, bowls, cups, whatever it might be, plates, not only can you still see the cracks, but they are actually highlighted by that precious metal. Kintsugi itself, the word breaks down to two, the word kin, which means golden, and the word sugi, which means joinery, the joining through gold. It's believed to have originated in 15th century Japan. And as a physical work, it takes broken pieces and puts them back together. And in many cases, making the finished piece look more beautiful than it did before it was broken. You see, as a philosophy, Kintsugi uses breakage and repair as part of the history of an object. Treats it as a redemptive beauty rather than something to disguise, something to cover up, or something to replace altogether. It's just part of that piece's story. In other words, to throw the broken vessel away is to destroy and to end its unique story. To repair in Kintsugi is to continue its tale, the vessel's tale of adventure, of triumph, and of redemptive beauty. I would offer today that there are broken pieces all around us. Maybe even within my eyesight. Whether it's individuals, relationships, communities, it's a crazy world in which we live. And this year has highlighted many things. And one of the things that this year has highlighted is the brokenness in our communities. And there are some who would sweep it all up and throw it away. But we serve a God of redemption. We serve a God of healing. We serve a God of restoration. And if we acknowledge that, why don't we live that way? You see, we live in a disposable society. A few years ago, my TV broke. For some of us, that's our worst nightmare. My big old TV broke. My big old 50-inch TV stopped working. Well, it did work. It had sound. It had no picture. So, and also if you know me, you know I am not mechanically inclined by any means. But I committed to fix it. That is after we had bought a new one. So I put it in the new one's box. And I committed to fix it. Looked it up online, thanks to good old YouTube. I was convinced that I could fix it, and it would only cost a fraction of what we paid for it. I'd end up with two TVs. And it sat in that box. And it sat in that box. And life happened, and things came up, and it sat in that box. Until last year, when we moved across campus, in the process of getting ready for that move, I decided it wasn't going to get fixed. So I hauled it down to the dump, paid them some money, and threw it off the back of the truck. You see, don't we treat broken things like that in our lives? Don't we treat broken individuals? Don't we treat broken relationships? Don't we treat broken churches or broken communities or broken families in the same way? It takes a lot of work. Other things come up. It'll get fixed later on. That's even if we decide to fix it. For too many people nowadays, the easy way out is just to walk away from it. It's just to walk away from it and leave it broken. Maybe we should learn more about Kintsugi and realize that with God's help, anything can be fixed. And just like Kintsugi, it can look even more beautiful than when it first was around. Many times we would rather just discard the broken vessel. Why? Is it embarrassment? Is it shame? Is it lack of priority? Whatever the case it might be. How many of us have done that? How many of us have cast aside something in our lives or someone because it wasn't worth the work to fix? Or maybe we thought even if we fixed it, it would look different than before it broke. Think about it. That story I told about breaking the coffee mug, maybe you've experienced the same thing. Maybe you've broken something. We had a plate It sat on top of one of our china cabinets. It was made a long time ago that had the handprints, little handprints, of our two girls. And it had their names. And they'd done it at one of those, you know, ceramic places that you find some player. And it fell. Remember that earthquake about 8 years ago? Yeah, it fell. It broke. And one of the things that we wrestled with for a long time was trying to fix it, because even if we fixed it, you could still see the cracks. Even if you use Gorilla Glue, you want to get it just perfect so you can't see the cracks. And then we get frustrated when we realize we can't put something together that way again, that the cracks will still be there, so we don't work as hard to fix it. I would offer you today that maybe the cracks are meant to be seen, and maybe they're meant to be highlighted, and maybe they're meant for other people to see. And maybe you think that something you've done in your life, or where you've gotten to this point in your marriage or your relationship with somebody, that it's just too broken. That God uses good people. That God uses those who aren't broken. But there's no way that God would want to use me or to use us as part of his story. I thought about that, and I looked it up online, and I saw this, and I want to share it with you because it reminds me of the broken people that God uses throughout the Bible. I had this on a poster in my classroom, and for some reason I don't have it up there anymore. It got taken down, but Noah was a drunk. Abraham, he's too old. Isaac, a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David, adulterer, murderer. Elijah, suicidal. Isaiah, he preached naked. I dressed up. Jonah, he ran from God. Naomi suffered the stigma of being a widow. Job, bankrupt. John the Baptist, he was a weirdo and ate bugs. Andrew lived in the shadow of his big brother. Peter denied Christ 3 times, and he was a hothead. The only thing preventing Peter from having road rage was the fact they didn't have cars back then. All the disciples fell asleep while they prayed, and they ran away when Jesus really needed them. Martha was a worrywart. The Samaritan woman was a serial divorcee. Mary Magdalene, demon-possessed. Zacchaeus, too small. Timothy, he had an ulcer. Paul was a Christian killer. And Lazarus, he was dead. But God used each and every one of those people. Their identity, as we remember them, is found in God. They are stories of redemption. Maybe there's someone here today who thinks that God has given up on them. That what they've done, what they've said, what they've thought is beyond redemption. No one is beyond redemption. No one is beyond the reach of God. No one is a broken vessel that needs to be swept up and tossed out. No one. And maybe you need to hear that this morning, and maybe you, someone you know, needs to hear that. Remind them of that. Remind them of that. I talked to the cadets this morning in our chapel services about YouTube rabbit holes. And Adam, my cadet chaplain over there, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a generational thing. Y'all know what YouTube is? Yeah, okay. Most of you. Some of you get with it. No, I'm kidding. YouTube rabbit holes are when you start watching a YouTube on video and the algorithm decides to show you on the right-hand side what you might want to watch based on what you've watched before or what you're watching at the time. So you click on it, And then you go down another rabbit hole. And before you know it, an hour or two has passed, and you're just kind of, you've gone down these weird paths sometimes. And sometimes they are wonderful, because I found myself in the midst of a YouTube rabbit hole recently, and I ended up watching a video by a group called I Am They. And the video was for a song called Scars. And I saw this group in concert a few years ago. They opened up for Casting Crowns in Charlottesville. And as I watched the video, it reminded me, as I was preparing this message, it was perfect that God tweaked the algorithm a little bit that day. Because that song applies to what I'm trying to tell you today. In that song, it says, waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes. Darkest water and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade for anything, because my brokenness brought me to you. And all these wounds are a story that you will use. So I am thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever, I am thankful for the scars. We need to understand that God is using everything in our lives, good or bad, to write a beautiful story of redemption. And there's not a part of your story, if you have been through something, if you have come out on the other side, there is nothing in your story that you should hide from people. Because there might be someone out there who needs to hear that story. Maybe the struggle that you have gone through or the struggle that you're going through is a story by which someone else can get through that struggle. We need to understand that God is writing beautiful stories of redemption every day in our lives. And we can focus and we can give in to fear and we can focus on the negative things. And we can say, for example, this is a crazy world in which we live. This is a changed world in which we live. But I think that this pandemic has caused us to rethink what church truly is and how valuable it is for us to get together, whether it's virtually or whether it's in person. Maybe this pandemic has allowed us as families to realize the value of getting together more often and spending time together. I'm not saying that's always the case, but I think for a lot of people it is. For a lot of people it is. Romans 8:28, a Bible verse that a lot of us know. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you brought some broken pieces with you. Maybe it's not all the pieces, but they need to be put back together. Maybe your relationship today needs to be put back together. In a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation, and I would invite you to bring the pieces to God. And just like the Kintsugi artist, God will put it back together. And the scars will still be there, and the cracks will still be visible, but it will be more beautiful than when it first broke. God is a master artisan. And a lot of us could share stories of how God has worked in our lives and put things back together that we didn't think would be possible. But he can do it. He can do it, and he does it every single day. So think about that this morning, folks, as we have our hymn of invitation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't wait. If you have broken pieces and you want to see them put back together, don't wait. Don't be that 50-inch TV that I ended up throwing away in the dump. Bring it to God and let him put it all back together.
Amen.
Let's close with a prayer. Father God, I pray this morning for the one who is hearing these words, whether it's here on the lawn at Fork Union, and whether it's someone online, and something in their lives is broken. Maybe it's themselves. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a family, a church, a community. Father, your power can be found in our weaknesses. We choose to focus on what is broken, with no hope of redemption. Father, don't let us get to that point. Remind us that you take pieces and you put them back together every day. We give you honor and glory, Father God, because you alone are worthy. I pray these things in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.